Blog Talk Radio.
Father God, we come to you this morning and we invite you into our midst, Father God. For you say where there are two or more gathered in your name that you are there, Father. Father God, today this broadcast is about spending quiet time with you, taking time to enter in, to shut ourselves into that secret place where you can speak to us and where you can minister, Father God, and to grow us, where we can just share our love with you, Father God, and let you know how much you mean to us, dear God. Father God, we ask that you help us to slow down and get our mind off things of this world, Father, and that you just mold us to be the worshipers, dear God, that you created us to be, Father. Help us to know, Father God, that things of this world do not matter. They are just going to pass away. But a life with you is eternal, Father, and we should have our focus on pressing towards the goal, Father, acknowledging you and worshiping as you created us to, Father. So I lift this broadcast up this morning, Father God, for that purpose, that people will come in, dear God. I pray, dear God, that you will lead people in, dear God, where they can hear your word and what it means to spend quiet time with you, and where we can lift worship music up and just ask for you to enter in. Anoint me, Father God, to go forth in this broadcast, for I am nothing without you. All power and glory go on to you, Father. I just ask that you have your perfect will and way as we come to spend quiet time with you, Father God. In your Son's precious and mighty name and your perfect will, I pray. Amen. Good morning, everyone. This is your host, Evangelist Montel Fields. And here on Reaching Out Radio this morning, we're going to be listening to some beautiful anointed music, pressing into his presence. And in those moments, I really want you to seek him and to acknowledge your Father. And we need to slow down and spend quiet time with him. So many are putting emphasis on so many things in this world and not taking time to spend with their Father. It's important that we give our quiet time to him and that we get in and we pray, that there is power in prayer and there is power in our worship. And when we shut ourselves in and we invite him in, he will come. So many say that God has left them. He never leaves us or forsakes, and it is us that turns our back upon him. So this broadcast is about entering in, inviting him into your midst, and just being still and know he is God. And a lot of that comes from living a surrendered life, surrendering your life to him. So I want to share a song, and I want you to really listen to the words as the song plays, and I want you to pray. I really want you to acknowledge a surrendered life, to know what it means to let go and to let God. And this is a song by Lincoln Brewster I like very much, and the name of the song is Surrender. After the song, I'm going to come back and share some teaching with you about being in his presence and what it means to be still and know that he is God and to spend quiet time with him. We just invite you in, Father, and just open your hearts and your mind to receive his word and let the music minister to you and just press into his presence, and trust me, he will meet you there. He is a faithful God. Let us come into a place of surrender this morning. Hallelujah. We need to be giving him our hearts and all that is within. And I want to share with you out of one of my books. The title is Alone with God, Arthur Campbell McAlpine. And we're going to talk about meditation and its purpose, to know God. It is important when dealing with a single truth to ensure it is woven into the pattern of all truth. Therefore, it is necessary before studying meditation in detail to have a clear understanding of its purpose and its relation to other aspects of biblical teaching. Right at the outset, therefore, we must establish the true purpose of meditating in the Word of God. The answer is unique: to know God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent, and to make them known. In all Christians' teachings, it is imperative to establish beyond all doubt that the supreme focus of our thought and study and the deepest desire of our hearts is a personal knowledge of a personal God. This was the heartbeat of the Apostle Paul when he wrote to the church of Colossae. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being truthful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Colossians 1, 9 and 10. The words of C.H. Spurgeon almost seem an understatement. There is something exceedingly improving to the mind in contemplation of the divinity. Plunge yourself in the Godhead's deepest sea. Be lost in his immensity. We must be absolutely clear at this point, because no great thoughts will come to the meditator who is not stirred and motivated by the necessity to increase in the knowledge of the holy, which is in the words of Proverbs 9:10, is understanding. The modern prophet A.W. Torres wrote, "We are called to an everlasting preoccupation with God." He continued, "The essence of idolatry is the entertainment of thoughts about God that are unworthy of him. The heaviest obligation lying upon the Christian church today is to purify and elevate her concept of God until it is more worthy of him and her." Some may feel intimidated by Torres' use of the word concept, so it is worthwhile asserting that study of God, a thirst for knowledge of him, is not a quest for abstractions, nor an arid theological exercise which excels in elucidating the dull and boring, the irrelevant and impractical, but rather it is a developing of a relationship, the furtherance of love, the deepening of a friendship that will adorn life and furnish eternity. Paul makes it clear in 1 Corinthians 8 that without love it is impossible to be known by God or to know him. Outside a relationship of love, knowledge merely puffeth up, and the man who thinks he knows something knows nothing. To know God is to love him, and to love him is to know him. You cannot love anyone you do not know. Biblical meditation increases that knowledge, and heart knowledge increases love. Obviously, there cannot be a personal love for God without a personal relationship with God. So let us now deal with some of the basic truths of knowing God. Relationships with God. The great purpose of the Lord Jesus coming to earth was to bring man back into relationship with God. See, sin had separated man from God, and God, in the greatness of his love, desired that relationship to be restored. God had pronounced the death sentence upon him: "The soul that sinneth, it shall die," Ezekiel 18:4. And because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23, it required someone who was sinless to come to take the punishment for sin so that man could be reconciled to God. This is the great message of the cross and of Christ and the Christ of the cross. But God commandeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, hallelujah, Christ died for us, Romans 5:8. Praise be to God, he died for us and our sin. When we respond to the convicting work of the Holy Spirit, acknowledge and turn from our sins, believing that Jesus died for our sins and rose again from the dead, the miracle takes place, and we are reconciled to God. What a miracle that is, in which God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are all operative. Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father, which has sent me, draw him." John 6:44. God draws us to Christ, who gives us eternal life, as though hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. John 17:2. The Holy Spirit convicted us of sin, John 16:9, and we were renewed by the Holy Spirit, Titus 3:5. The immediate result of his new birth is that we are brought into relationship with God, but as many as received him, to them gave him power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, John 1:12. A new life is imparted, and we are immediately indwelt by the Holy Spirit, who witnesses with our spirit that we are children of God, assuring us of our relationship with God, who is now our Father, which art in heaven. Eternal life is a knowledge of God. One of the many definitions of a true Christian was given by the Lord, and there is life eternal, that they might know their only true God, Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. John 17:3. Thus knowing God starts by receiving eternal life, which is given to all who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Obviously, the knowledge of God at the time is small, but relationship has been established. And before the believer lies a glorious, exciting future of spending life and eternity in an ever-increasing knowledge of the Word and glory of God and his beloved Son, Jesus. And it's so important for us to get that concept. We're talking about eternal life. The life we have here on earth, we're just passing through. This is just our temporary place. But we are spiritual. We are in one with the Spirit. And we're looking towards eternity. And that's why it's so important to be in a place and to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Because as it said, the only way unto the Father is through his Son, Jesus Christ. And that means taking time with your Father and praying and seeking him and being in your Word and meditating. And I just encourage you in that. And that's why I felt led in this broadcast today. And I want to encourage you. And I really like what this says here in this book. How about a checkup? Before proceeding further, it would be a good investment of a few minutes to have a checkup. As the Apostle Paul was closing his second letter to the church at Corinth, he asked all in the church to do something. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. 2 Corinthians 13:5. I want to ask, will you do this now? You have to check yourself. But let me give you a checklist of the biblical proofs of a person who has come into a true relationship with God. Checklist 1, and you may want to get a pen and paper and write these down. A person who is a Christian knows it without any shadow of a doubt. The Holy Spirit gives the absolute assurance that we belong to God through Christ, you know. Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, Romans 8:16. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself, 1 John 5:10. Second on the checklist, a change has taken place in the life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, 2 Corinthians 5:17. That means you start to see transformation in your life. You're letting go of the old habits, the way you used to talk, the people you used to hang around. You live a Christ-like life. Check 3 on your list. There is a desire to obey God. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. 1 John 2:3 and 4. Number 4. There is a love for other Christians. We know that we have passed away from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. 1 John 3 and 14. Number 5, there is a desire to know God better. As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Psalm 42:1. Number six, there is a desire to know God and do the will of God. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 7:21. What is the result of your examination? Most people who have obtained this book will, I am sure, be able to say with Paul, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. 2 Timothy 1:12. If, however, you are a render who failed the examination, realize it is a great discovery to know where you are or are not with God. No one will ever call on a Savior until he realizes he has a need. If you are sincerely desiring to know God as your Father and Jesus Christ as your Lord, obey the Word of God as it encourages you to do the following. Acknowledge your need. Agree with what the Bible says about you. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Isaiah 53:6. And again in Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Take the cry of the public. God be merciful to me, a sinner. Luke 18:13. If you have one good word to say for yourself, you are not a candidate for God's salvation, for he is the only Savior of sinners. But we are all as unclean things, and our all unrighteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Isaiah 64:6. Look to the Lord Jesus. He is the only Savior. He is the only way to God. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14:6. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is no one else. Isaiah 45:22. You need to believe in him. Believe that which is true, that he loves you. He died for you. He took the punishment for your sins. That he, Jesus, died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. Receive him as your Savior and Lord. Having acknowledged your sin and repented, believing that he died for you and rose again, ask him to come into your life, yielding it totally to his Lordship. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John 1:12. Confess him as Lord, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Hallelujah. I love that scripture. Romans 10:9-10. Now look at the record. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and that this life is in his Son, and that he hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. 1 John 5:11-12. If you have never before accepted the Lord Jesus as your Savior and Lord, if your profession of faith has only been nominal, and you did not pass the test of examining yourself, whether you are in faith, and if you really desire to have a relationship with God, let us pray now. O God, I come to you. Acknowledge I am a sinner, and I am ready now to repent of my sin, to turn away from sin. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I believe that the Lord Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and that he rose again from the dead. I ask you now, Lord Jesus, to save me, and I receive you as my own Savior. I yield all of my life to you. I confess with my mouth that you are Christ Jesus, my Lord, and that you have given me eternal life. I believe I am now indwelt by your Holy Spirit, and that you, O God, are now my Father. Thank you. I acknowledge it is all because of your mercy and grace. Amen. Praise be to God. And I'm praying that there's people out there listening that prayed that prayer with me, and that today your name's been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if you just became a Christian, tell someone about it. Get committed to and involved with the Bible-believing church. Continue to read this book and apply its teachings, which will enable you to increase in the knowledge of God. Hallelujah. And I want to I just really want us to continue to press in, and I want to share another song. I really like this song, and it really says a lot, and it's a beautiful song. And, you know, many times it might be hard for us to understand, how could it be that God would send His Son and that Jesus would give His life for us? But He did, and praise be to God that He loved us enough that He went to the cross to bear our sin and make a way for us. And praise God for anyone out there that prayed that prayer this morning. And I'd love to hear your testimony. You can email me, Evangelist Montel Fields, at Singing Praises. It's SingingPraises70@hotmail.com, or get a hold of me on Facebook, Evangelist Montel Fields, and my name is MONTELL Fields, FIELDS. I would gladly pray with you. I'd love to hear your testimonies. Maybe you would like to share your testimony on the air. I encourage you to get a hold of me, or maybe you're someone listening today that has a prayer request, or you just would like to share with me. You can call in at 347-308-8837. Again, 347-308-8837. And let's just keep pressing in and spending some time with God, and just let the songs minister to you. And we're going to come back and share in some more teachings on spending some time with God. And this is a beautiful song, and it's called How Can It Be by Laura Daigle.
Ashamed of what I've done, what I've become, these hands are dirty. I dare not lift them up to the Holy One. You plead my cause.
Hallelujah. Praise be to God. How can it be that he gave his life for us? It's because that God loved us so much that he sent his only son to die for us, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. And I just thank God so much that he made a way for sinners like us. And it's really important. In order to have a great relationship with God, you need to spend time with him every day. Just like with your human relationships, the purpose of spending time with God is to get to know and to understand him better. Spend time with him every day. I just want to make a difference. How many times have you heard that from others and also from yourself? Most people want to know that their lives are significant, that they matter, that they are important. Each one of our contributions to the world around us is different, but each one matters. For the Christian, a life of true significance begins with a close, personal relationship with God. Everything we are and everything we do is grounded in the relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father. See, the more time that we spend with God, and the more we will know and understand his plan for our life. Consistency is critical. Just as plants grow well with the daily sunlight and water, we too will grow well when we spend time with him daily and get in God's word. Hallelujah. Plants don't do well with gallons of water one day and then no water for an entire week. This is how it works for us too. We can gain a lot by spending a lot of time in God's word. But then if we don't spend any time with God for a week, we may find ourselves wilting. The bottom line is that in order to have a great relationship with God, we need to spend time with him every day. Just like our human relationships, as I shared, the purpose of spending time with God is to get to know God and understand him better. I want you to ask yourself this, and I really want you to answer. Where are you, when are you currently spending time with God, and how often? Again, listen to that. When are you currently spending time with God, and how often? Jesus said, I've loved you the way my Father has loved me. Make yourselves at home in my love. If you keep my commandments, you remain intimately at home in my love. John 15:9-10. What does it mean to you to be at home in Jesus' love? For me, it's to know that I'm forgiven, I'm redeemed, set free, that I have peace and confidence and faith knowing no matter what I go through, that he is there with me and has made a way for me eternally. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. There's such peace and rest in him. Oh, praise be to God. We've already spent a lot of time talking about the importance of hearing, reading, studying, meditating, and memorizing God's word. And we also discussed how taking time to pray makes a huge difference in our lives. So by now, you should be spending at least some time with God. Hopefully, you're finding that enjoyable for you. If not, it may not always be easy. But as you develop a daily discipline of spending time with God, you will find yourself not only growing closer to him, but also experiencing his power in new ways. When you do spend with time, Jesus, what difference does it make in your life? See, when you spend time with God every day, you will be more in tune with what he wants for your life. You will be able to refocus and get your mind off the world and worries around us and focus on his faithfulness to you. You will find it easier to worship him and to experience his great love and power. I encourage you. Set reasonable goals for your time with God so that you can maintain spending time with him every day. Maybe it's only 15 minutes in the morning or 20 minutes at lunchtime. If you don't have more time than that, don't set a goal for 30 or 40 minutes. You will become discouraged and frustrated. Ask God to give you the desire and discipline to take that time with him every day. Keep it simple. The goal of your time with God is to try to grow closer to him. It's not to check off your list. Don't add extra burdens to this focus. I have to make at least 15 observations. I have to write at least 5 pages in my journal. I have to pray for at least 45 minutes. The goal is to spend time with God and to grow closer to him. What do you most enjoy about your time spent with God? and ask yourself, what are the things that get in the way of you spending time with God every day? You really may want to write those down and really ask yourself, let's say that again. What do you most enjoy about your time spent with God, and what are the things that get in the way of you spending time with God every day? What can you do to make more time for God? Because it's so important that we spend time with Him daily and get in the Word and pray and seek Him while He can still be found. Don't be disappointed when progress in your Christian life doesn't happen quickly as you would like it to. See, growing as a Christian is a lifelong process. God is patient, and He will never take His love away from you. Remember, the Holy Spirit will empower you when you choose to obey Him. Your daily time with God is time to look at Him and listen to Him as He speaks to you through His Word. Plan a specific time and place the night before. Have your journal that you're using for Bible study and prayer ready. You don't necessarily have to write something every day. There are no rules or pressure. Simply enjoy His presence and wait for His direction. Ephesians 3:20 promises, through His mighty power at work within us, He is able to accomplish infinitely more than we could ever dare to ask or hope. Isaiah 40:31 says, but those who trust in the Lord, who will find new strength, they will soar on high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. When we spend time with God every day, we are able to experience His power. We are able to find His strength. God gives you this great promise that you can make yours every single day. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline, 2 Timothy 1:7. See, when we spend time with God every day, we are reminded of who He is and His great love for us. God is with you every moment, every day and night. When you take time out of your day to specifically spend time with Him, you are intentionally acknowledging His presence in your life, and He will show up. When you finish your specific time with Him, ask the Lord to come with you wherever you are going next. Make it a definite invitation. Lord, I'm going to go to work now. Would you please come with me? Of course, He is going to be with you, but this will remind you of His very real presence. And in applying this to your life, pick a time that will work for you to spend time with God and to stick to it for the next week. Record the ways God directs and leads you during this time. Hallelujah, praise be to God. He is with us, and He does want us to spend time with Him. He created us to worship Him. Hallelujah, praise be to God. And I want to encourage you too, in the power of prayer. I have many books at home, and I want to share some testimonies because it's really important when you're going before God in faith, and prayer is part of our walk too, and to pray without ceasing. And I have a book of true stories of answered prayers and how prayer works. And I want to share some of those testimonies with you, and then we're going to have some more beautiful worship music and get ready to come into closing. One of these are, from the depths of a thankful and joyous heart, I want to give this testimony for the power of united prayer. My young granddaughter was injured critically in a car accident. After 5 hours of surgery, the doctors gave her no chance for recovery, as they later informed her parents. When we received the message of her injury about noon that day, a very dear friend immediately called Silent Unity for your help in faith and prayer. At 4 o'clock that afternoon, two doctors rushed into the room where the anxious family waited and announced, "We have just had a miracle." There is no way to express in words the thankfulness and the abiding faith that prayers do have an awesome power for instant healing. Our loved one is now almost recovered from a ruptured liver and crushed chest. Indeed, she expects to return to school soon. BC in Colorado. It was with a grateful heart that I write to thank all my friends at Unity for their prayers and encouragement. There is a history of cancer in my family. Recently, an X-ray revealed a spot on one of my lungs. A CAT scan was then recommended. I called you and we prayed, and the CAT scan revealed no problem with my lung. Even more recently, I started bleeding and had to have a cervical biopsy and other tests again. I called and we prayed together. All the test results were negative. I can no longer think this is coincidence. Thank you for being there for me. May God continue to bless you in your wonderful work. MR in New York. I was seriously injured, sustaining a gunshot wound to the face. After being shot, I fell forward, which fortunately allowed me to continue to breathe. I was fully conscious and noticed that I could still hear, see, and think. While waiting for the ambulance, I prayed that I would live. Then I reflected that I was hurt so badly, I might die. So I prayed that the Lord would comfort my family. Having communicated those two times, I then concentrated on trying to stay alive. I did not lose consciousness until after I was in the ambulance. Surgery was 4 days later. After surgery, my wife was told by the attending physician that because of the extensive swelling and damage to my tongue and palate, I probably would not speak for at least 8 weeks, and then only after speech therapy. They also said that due to the seriousness of the injuries I sustained, I would probably remain in the hospital for at least 3 months. 5 days after surgery, I was examined, and the attending physician told me, to his surprise as well as my wife's, I said, as clearly as one can with wired jaws, "Hello." I was dismissed from the hospital 2.5 weeks after being shot. I was told prior to leaving the hospital that at one time the doctors did not know whether I would survive or not. We all know the answer to my improvement is the power in prayer. Upon reflection, there is no doubt in my mind that the reason I survived is because you, along with many people like you, took time out of your day to pray for me. My wife, daughter, and son as well, thank you for the prayers you offered in my behalf. God bless you. Praise be to God. I love hearing testimonies of answered prayers, and I want to share one more. Many testimonials not only speak of immediate answers to one problem, but also of solutions to many problems that fall into place once prayers are made. I fell ill with a severe influenza-like disease. A week later, my husband became ill, and 3 days later, he fainted in the shower and cut his face quite badly as he fell. The day before his fall, I discovered that our automobile had been stolen, and upon reporting it to the insurance company, we discovered that our coverage had expired 6 weeks previously. The insurance company had neglected to send renewal notices to us. After 20 years of coverage with the same company, my husband was very discouraged. So here we were, sick, our automobile was stolen, and we had no insurance. Wow. About that time, I began to ask myself what I was doing wrong or what I was not doing that I should be doing. The answer was swift. As I reached for a full year's unopened, unread Unity magazine, and I realized how far I had strayed from God's loving care. I telephoned a friend who in turn called Silent Unity for us. Immediately, things began to happen. A strained relationship with close friends was healed. A troubled relationship between two business colleagues was healed, although not directly prayed for. Our health began to improve, and 36 days after it was stolen, our automobile was recovered with minimum damage. Part of the damage was a scrape and sizable dent on the front fender. As my husband ran his finger over the dent to ascertain the degree of damage, the dent sprang out beneath his touch and is smooth as new. Never will I forget the dazed and incredulous look on his face as he hurried in to tell me of it. Undoubtedly, the greatest healing has been in my having been brought back safely to the shelter of a loving father. I wish I could express the thankfulness, happiness, and joy with which I am filled, for good seems never ending. I am deeply grateful for Unity and all you have done for me, and for the love of good and true friends. I ask your continued prayers for all whom I hold dear, and for my steadfastness and single-mindedness in seeking first the kingdom of heaven. JCS in Pennsylvania. Praise be to God. Those are out of one of my true stories of answered prayers and people that's called into Unity prayer line. And I just encourage you to press in, to pray without ceasing, and to meditate upon his word daily. Let him grow you and let him strengthen you, for you are loved. And as we get ready to come into a close, we have about 11 minutes left in the broadcast. I want to share a beautiful instrumental by one of my dear brothers in Christ from Hazock Ministries, Brian Fouts, and the name of his song is the hiding place, and just take some time and ask God to enter in and to search you and to empty you of things that need empty so he could fill you with new things. Meditate on him and just invite him into your midst and spend some time with the Father. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Purpose of spending time with God is to commune with God. Man is made for relationship with God, Ecclesiastes 3:11. And thus, in order to have fullness of joy and to be what God wants him to be, he needs to cultivate that relationship. How this is done will make the difference for making our devotional time a meaningful, edifying, and truly purpose-filled time. James 4:8 says, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." The reason we must have time with God is because God asks us to. He puts a responsibility on us to make the first move to reach him in drawing near. He wants us to want him. And so he waits for us with open arms, hoping that we will run to him. The promise for us is sure that if we draw near to him, we can be sure that he will be there for us. He won't run. He won't hurt us. He won't ignore us. He won't abandon us. And he will listen. He is the perfect friend and father, and he always has all the time we could ever need. In addition, he has the power to affect change, move mountains, and truly impact our lives immediately and directly. It is such a privilege to be a child of God who can approach the sovereign of the entire world to move and to meet our needs. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. That should encourage you. When we come to realize that life is about a relationship with God, we will get the most of our devotion time. If we start to think that life is merely about doing things for God, rather than enjoying God who does his work in and through us, we will lose our joy in our first love, Revelation 2:4. Life to the full is knowing God, John 17:3. Eternal life and abundant life, John 10:10, are found in cultivating a personal relationship with a personal God through Jesus Christ. This is what our heart longs for, and if we start replacing God with the activities for God or any other idol, we will lose our joyful and wonder why God feels so distant. The beauty of an intimate walk with God is that we can know him and his will, 1 Corinthians 2:16. We can have our joy made full, John 15:11. And we can expect our prayers to be answered, John 15:7. There is rest, security, and certainly when we are near to the heart of God. But we must take the time to spend with God, to listen to him, learn from him, and to love him. A productive quiet time is one in which we encounter God's heart for us through his word. We read it, study it, and meditate upon it such that the Spirit is able to give us enlightenment concerning its meaning and its desired application for our lives. The scripture is not meant to be mere data and information, but it is a language expressing God's love and intent to us and for us. It is thus more than the letters on a page being God's handwritten note to us about his love and purpose for us. It is very much alive, Hebrews 4:12. When we read God's word to see what God's heart is and how he wants our hearts, James 1:25, then devotions are meaningful and purposeful. Devotion should also involve time in prayer. We should listen to God through his word, and then we should speak to God through prayer. It is essential that we open our hearts fully before God, especially since he sees them for what they are anyway. It is silly to express our full longings when God knows what they are anyway. We should cast our worries and cares upon Christ, 1 Peter 5:7. We should pour our needs to him, and we should pray for the things that he has told us to pray for, such as for his kingdom to come and will to be done in various areas in our sphere of influence and in the world. I want to see his name lifted up in spirit and in truth. Once our hearts are enraptured with God, it is only natural to pray for others to know the same thing. Psalm 16:11 says, "You will make known me the path. In your presence is fullness of joy, and in your right hand there are pleasures forevermore." We are made for God, so let us spend time alone with God to hear from him, to know him, to enjoy him, to learn from him, and to listen to him. He alone can give us strength and meet our deepest needs, so let us draw near to him regularly, starting today. You will make known to me the path of its life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forevermore, Psalm 16:11. Praise be to God. I really hope that you have taken this in today and that it really helps you to grow and understand the importance of spending time alone with God. He created us to worship him. We were created for a purpose and a plan, and we just need to get into the word daily and to be praying one for one another and seeking him. He loves you, and he is waiting there with arms wide open. Come as you are, and know that you will be received. He won't turn you away. Praise God. This is your host, Evangelist Montel Fields, encouraging you to continue to grow. And as I was sharing earlier, plants need water, and let that seed that's in your heart be watered and fed by the word so that it can grow and flourish. Praise be to God. I thank you so much for joining me here on Reaching Out Radio, and continue to support and lift this radio ministry up in your prayers as well, our outreach ministry, Fields Family Outreach Ministry, and to pray for all the other ministries that are coming on board and people that are sharing their testimonies. God is good, and he is worthy to be praised. You are loved, of great worth, created with purpose and a plan. And Jesus Christ didn't come to condemn you, but that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Just come before him, repent, get your sins under the blood, and be set free, and don't pick it back up to continue carrying it, but keep walking in that victory that we have through Jesus Christ. I love you all in Christ. I encourage you, don't back down when God is backing you up. Have a very blessed week ahead, and may God in his peace be with you daily. Rest in his presence. Seek him while he can still be found. Thank you again for your time and for sharing with me here on Reaching Out Radio. In Christ's love, this is Evangelist Montel Fields. And again, if you need any prayers, contact me on Facebook or singingpraises70@hotmail.com.